everyone. Emery here from the Intrepid 007 podcast. Today, we're in the studio, but I want to do something different. Let's get out of here. Hang on. Off to adventure from Quebec City to New York City. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Intrepid 007 podcast. Hope you're doing well. As you can see from that little intro, took a little road trip this past winter holiday. I went from Quebec City all the way down to New York City. Of course, I drove. I didn't take a plane because it was a family trip with the wife and three kids in tow. The trip wasn't unlike the same trajectory that was taken in The Spy Who Loved Me by the heroine Vivienne Michel. Of course, I didn't wear this outfit to drive the caravan and wasn't in a Vespa, so it was a little bit more of a comfortable drive through the Adirondacks, and especially through the winter, it would have been quite chilly on that Vespa. And of course, the route is a little bit different as well. So if you notice in the book, Fleming kind of does mention the routes of where he goes. And this will actually be important in my next video, because this is a trip that Fleming himself would have taken sometime around 1947, 48, if my memory serves, from the research that I've done recently on this. But the route from, say, Quebec City to New York State, or through to New York City, is mostly the 20 and the 15 and then the 87. Back then, it would have been different routes. You go through Route 3 and Route 9. Actually, in The Spy Who Loved Me, she goes on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River and then traverses through the island of Montreal. With modern traffic, that would be a disaster. So, of course, I went through the south shore of Montreal, from which I am native, did a stop there overnight, and then drove straight through to Manhattan through New Jersey. I actually stayed in New Jersey overnight, went to Manhattan the next day. That's besides the point. The trip to New York itself is not unlike the trip that Bond takes in 007 in New York. So now, in the short story version of 007 in New York, it was written specifically to kind of appease the American audience, because Fleming had kind of made some missteps with Thrilling Cities, and he had done a review of New York that was maybe not complimentary. So he wrote this short story about James Bond visiting New York for the American publication of Thrilling Cities, which passes over a little bit better. He describes that what he does in New York City is he generally goes shopping, and he was looking forward to buying certain items. There are things that are mentioned in the 007 in New York story that kind of actually connect to The Man with the Golden Gun, because he buys the Hofferitz safety razors rather than the Gillette ones. I mean, of course, the Gillette one is iconic because used during the war, and it's the one that's seen in Goldfinger for purposes that we'll get to in just a little bit. But it's mentioned specifically in the 007 New York story that he goes to New York to purchase these razors. So he has this whole plan, and of course, nothing goes to plan, because his main mission, he's there for work, and then he has all these extra curricular activities that are planned, but because the work kind of goes awry, he doesn't get to do all the things that he wanted to do. And my trip to New York was a little bit like that, because I went with family, and it was really a family-oriented trip. I did get to do a few Bond things in there, but I didn't go see the Omega Shop, and I didn't go see Ed Peel, and I didn't go see Sunspell, and I didn't go see Turnbull and Astor, because that wasn't the point of the trip. The point of the trip was to spend, you know, a family vacation, and I was lucky enough to see Rockefeller Center. Now, Rockefeller Center, of course, is heavily mentioned in this book, because my man Intrepid actually had his offices there during World War II, and it is in this book that they detail a plan that happened between Ian Fleming and William Stevenson as a covert action against Japanese ciphers that, of course, Fleming romanticizes for this book, and is one of the two kills that James Bond has to complete for his double status. Of course, New York is also heavily featured in this book and its subsequent movie film. So Live and Let Die does also have a lot of New York to it. Of course, it's different areas of New York. It's not necessarily the island of Manhattan. So because this was a family trip, I didn't go to many places. Rockefeller Center was obviously number one on my list, because it was the Intrepid's office. It was mentioned in Casino Royale. It has some sort of historical importance, and of course, you know that I'm a really big history buff. So that was the main part of the trip, was of course sightseeing. We went to the Harry Potter store as well, near the Flatiron Building. So we did see most of what we wanted to see. Manhattan is a little bit of a zoo during the holidays. We went between Christmas and New Year's. Of course, we were preparing for the New Year's Eve party, so there was a lot of craziness going on. But what we did get to do was Spyscape. Now, if you're not familiar with Spyscape, you've probably seen it in other videos. But Spyscape is a spy museum. It's smaller than maybe the DC one, and it's more focused, you could say. There, it's an interactive experience. So we did have to answer some questions and do some challenges to figure out what type of agent you are. And of course, out of the five of us, four of us came out as intelligence operatives, and one of us, one lucky one of us, came out as special operations. And that was my 6-year-old daughter, because of course, being not necessarily fully literate yet, because she's only in grade one, she didn't really answer some of the questions, and she didn't really participate as much, but she nailed the laser room. So that was one of the cooler things. So that's part of the experience, was fun for the whole family. What was fun for me is everything that is spy related. So I've read The Man Called Intrepid. I've got a number of other books here that are related to spy history, Operation Mincemeat being one of them, Inside Camp X being another one. Books where the raw intelligence from World War II was collected by the kind of prototypical MI6 and CIA kind of counterintelligence. One of the biggest things that I got to see there, and I had seen one before, was the Enigma coding machine. So I've seen one at the Ontario War Museum in Ottawa, or the National War Museum in Ottawa, but there wasn't one that was actually tactile. At Spyscape, there is actually a tactile one that you can touch and feel, and you can actually see everything. They've made a reproduction. It's not the original, but it's a reproduction. So they have that reproduction that you can touch and feel and play with, which is really cool, and you kind of see how it works. There is an actual one that's in pristine condition. I'm assuming it's restored, but there's a pristine condition one there. There's also a destroyed one, and then some other stuff that are there that are related to the coding machines and things like that. Is they had not only a Typex, which is the British version of the Enigma coding machine, which was used to send messages across the Atlantic, and of course most of these messages would have gone through Rockefeller Center and Intrepid's office. But they also had what was called the bombe. So it was a basically, if you see in the pictures that I'm about to show in a moment, the thing is absolutely massive. It must be 6, 7 feet tall by 8 feet wide by probably 5 or 6 feet deep as well. The thing is absolutely massive, and that was what Alan Turing had designed to defeat the Enigma coding machine. So the Spyscape trip itself, I mean, I did get to see the first Aston Martin DB5 of that week. And I don't know if that is an actual film used car or not. It didn't seem like it. And you'll see in the next video why I might not think that's the truth. It doesn't seem like it's an actual film used one, but it was cool. I mean, I've never seen an Aston Martin DB5 in my life, and I was lucky enough during that week to see not one, but two. So I was very lucky in that respect. You don't really get too close to the one at Spyscape, and it's suspended in the air, which is really cool. They were missing the Batmobile, which I was a little bit upset about, because I would have liked to have seen that too. So the first real mention of James Bond, fictional spy. They don't really touch on the spy fiction as much in Spyscape, which is fine. It's spy focused, a lot of American spy focused. One of my favorite parts of the experience of the things you can do was there was one where they were just watching CCTV. And you had to kind of, you had all these screens and you had to pick out stuff. And I found that I was pretty good at that. Maybe with practice, I could have aced it, but I was fairly good at that particular test. I think I scored pretty highly on that. The laser test was so-so. I'm maybe not as nimble as I think I am. But Spyscape is a really cool event. They have a nice, two nice actually gift shops. On the upper level, you have a gift shop which is pretty large and vast with all kinds of knickknacks and things like that. But then downstairs, they have a bookstore, and I wish I had spent a little bit more time there, but they had a really cool bookstore with just spy books. So it really is worth the trip. I mean, any trip to New York is worth it, but if you get the chance to do Spyscape is something that's really, really cool to do. Next video, you'll see something else that I got to do that was really cool that weekend in my travels on my way back to Montreal. Until then, take care. See you next time. Thanks for watching.